From the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast about board games. That's right, The Boarding Party. With your friends Jake, Justine,
what up?
Patrick, and me, your friendly neighborhood board gamer. What's up, guys? That's a dynamic new intro. Do you like that?
It's fun.
Good, huh?
I like it.
Yeah,
loved it.
It's good times. That theme. Rat City Brass doing the third man theme. Gosh, that's a lot of fun. We should start our other podcast with that because we come in kind of low energy on that other one.
Yeah, sometimes.
Like you just did. Way to kill the vibe there, Patrick.
Good
job.
Good job. You're welcome.
Justine came out right out with that. Hey, how you doing? And then, you know.
My name's Toby Flenderson.
Hey.
You're such a Bay Area guy. Everything's got to be mellow, man. Everything's got to be, hey, man, we're just taking it easy, man.
Yeah,
dude. Just
dudes,
having a good time, bro. Just want to play my board games, man.
Yeah.
Wake up.
What's the deal, man? Let's just have
a good time,
dude.
You're like running like
20
miles a day. What happens to all that energy you get? You don't have the energy?
No, it's all spent. I know, right?
Do me a favor. Have a cup of overpriced
Starbucks
coffee before you get it.
I don't drink coffee.
Why not? Have you had a good cup of coffee?
Yes.
Like a good cup.
I've gone to other countries for a good cup of coffee.
Yes.
Look at you.
Did you have coffee in Hawaii?
No.
It's not another country.
That's so good. The same country, you dumbass.
So good.
No, I went to Costa Rica.
We went to Costa Rica.
How was the coffee in Costa Rica?
Actually really good, and I hate coffee. So, but we went to a coffee plantation. They made it like fresh right then and there. It was real good.
Did it give you a little case of the shotguns?
No, it was good though.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I don't drink coffee.
All right.
Tea,
some of
yes.
that coffee. Oh my God. The place I used to work at in the mornings, the cooks would, they'd bring their own coffee
and brew
it up. And me not knowing that it was like five times the strength of normal coffee, I have a whole cup to myself. And like a half hour later, I'm like,
yep. And not only that,
felt like I was going to have a heart attack.
Yeah, that too. We had to get rid of we had a Ninja coffee maker that I loved and we got rid of it. We got a Mr. Coffee. My wife was like, let's get a Mr. Coffee maker. I was like, what am I, an animal with your Mr. Coffee? Went out, spent $60 on Amazon. This thing is amazing. My wife made coffee at like 4 in the morning. I got up at like, I don't know, like I came in like 8 o'clock the next.
It's still hot.
It's still piping hot.
Yeah, because it has the heater on the bottom. It keeps it.
No, it doesn't have the heating.
Oh, it's
a steel carafe, but it's hermetically sealed.
Oh.
Oh, man.
There
Good
you go.
Cup of coffee. Nice cup of coffee. What are we talking board games, though? This isn't coffee talk. Coffee talk.
Welcome to the coffee corner.
Welcome to the coffee corner. We're going to talk about welcome to the coffee clutch.
We're going
to
talk about.
We're going to be talking about your favorite.
Oaxacan.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about your favorite.
How do you like your beans roasted?
Mm-hmm.
Medium.
Medium.
Solid medium, maybe light roast sometimes.
I go a medium roast.
So like a sandy blonde.
Well, you know the lighter roasts are actually stronger.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually stronger.
It's when you do the what do you call it, like the dark roast?
Mm-hmm.
It just kills it. Kills the flavor, man.
Yeah, medium. I go
it's
medium.
Just burnt, right?
No, you're just drinking burnt coffee.
You know what makes good coffee is that Pete's coffee. Pete for like a you want like a mass produced.
Yeah,
better than that Starbucks crap.
It's good. Solid.
Cuz you know when I'm sometimes last night my wife and I were playing a couple games. I wanted a cup of coffee. My games. I was like, it's cold outside. Sit around the table.
Nice cup of coffee.
Well, let's talk about beans, first of all, guys. Because we just rediscovered a classic game from Huey Rosenberg.
Amazing.
Called Bonanza.
See, this all tied
That's
in.
That's a fantastic segue.
Bonanza. And you're bean farmers, guys. Mm-hmm. This is basically a set collecting card game with some rules. You have two quote unquote bean fields in front of you. You have a hand of five cards. You never change the order of those cards. And you can plant your beans. You can plant one or two rows of beans. They have to match. So if you're planting a blue bean, it has to match with the blue bean. If you're planting a red bean, it has to plant with the match of the red bean. Then you draw two more cards off the top of the deck, and you have to either plant them right away or find a way to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Or trade them.
Or trade them away. Or what you can do is you can scrap what you have in front of you. Try to cash it in, and then plant what you just got. Or you can donate it to somebody else if they don't want it. And this game, for being so easy, it plays 2 to 7 players. Boy, have we had fun with this game in recent
years. Yeah, surprisingly a lot of fun. I mean, you're basically, it's your strategy is you're trying to pay attention to your hand and then what else is coming out in the field to hopefully trade something that you can then maximize your bean potential.
It's fun. So the cards are all different. So like a blue bean, for example, if you trade one blue bean, it's worth 1 coin. If you trade 6, it's worth 2. 8 is worth 3. 10 is worth. So some of them have a higher value to start, and then that kind of tapers off. Mm-hmm. Others are the opposite. And sometimes you end up selling, getting rid of beans because you have to, because there's something else to plant, and you get nothing for them, which sucks. So you really want to, the trading element is fun because it's always like, hey, what do you want? What do you need for that blue bean over there?
It incentivizes you to have a more cooperative game because when you trade with the active player, you get to plant the bean that you're given. So it gets rid of cards in your hand while also, you know, you're helping each other out at the same time.
It's a lot of fun. My wife and I had played it originally with only 2 players, and it's a little bit of a different game. Mm-hmm. Not as fun, obviously, because, you know, there's not that many people to trade with. But we've been playing with a full count. We played with 7 people last week, and it really opens up the game to trading. And, you know, and then it's like, oh, why didn't you trade with me? Well, screw you. I'm not going to trade with you now.
Yeah.
Kind of turns into that a little bit.
It's a lot of you hate your neighbor.
I think the more people, the better. For that reason is because you kind of, they're teams that unintentionally end up developing because you don't trade mm-hmm. with someone, they get mad, then they trade with someone else.
But it's also nice if you have that unspoken communication that you have, like if your wife is playing, your girlfriend or your best friend or something is playing, you kind of have that unspoken. It's either going to work to your advantage or you're going to hate each other.
You're either going to help me or I'm going to hose you.
Yeah,
so
that's,
make your choice.
It ends up being hosing a lot. But, yes. It's actually published by Rio Grande Games here in the United States. Again, it plays 2 to 7, designed by
They make a lot of games.
They do. Rio Grande are good. They're good strategy games. Good. There's a lot of good. Got a lot in their stable. It gets a 7 on Board Game Geek. I would rate it a little higher.
I think it's about fair for me.
It's about
7.
I'd probably say like it's a 7.5.
Mm-hmm. 7.5, 8. I like it a lot. I mean, it's got a lot of replayability, and it's good for after a round or two. It's definitely one of the games that you have to play at least once or twice
mm-hmm.
through a couple of rounds to really figure out how to play. But once you get it, it's really
quick. It plays
quick
very quickly.
And it's fast.
It's very fast.
Because you play it through until you shuffle through the deck 5.
Three times.
And the first round is the longest, and after that, it's like you got no time at all.
It's mm-hmm. exponentially quicker.
Once you get to that third round,
it's like 2 or 3 turns.
Everybody gets, maybe 2 turns. Mm-hmm. Maybe. That first round kind of takes a little bit because there's so many cards to get through, but you burn through those cards very quickly, very, very quickly. Yeah, I like it. I give it, this is a good one. And it's an old game. It's an older game. But check it out if you want to just have a fun, quick card game. The instructions seem a little complicated at first, but it's one of those games you like play it once, you're like, okay, I got it. And then after that, it moves really, really quickly. So, Justine, did you get a chance to play this with us?
Yes, I did.
How did you like it?
It was good. I kind of wish the artwork was better, but
yeah, the artwork's a little silly.
A little dated. And
a little
silly.
Yeah, it doesn't. Maybe an updated version, but it's essentially.
But the game is fun.
Looks like an old newspaper comic kind of art.
Kinda, exactly, and it's essentially just one giant deck of cards.
And the names are just Stinky Bean and
Red Bean, Blue
Stinky
Bean,
Stinky Bean, Red Bean, Blue
Chili
Bean,
Green Bean.
This is a good. This would be a good. You play this as your light game, then you play a game of Scoville, and then together.
You just have a bean filled night.
Yeah, it's like a farming.
You've played Scoville.
No, we haven't played Scoville yet.
Yeah,
we played
it
in a while.
Just the color. Oh,
yeah.
Let's play it in a while. Okay, so my wife went online for Christmas, and she got me this game. It's a dexterity game.
Oh,
and, God.
I love this game.
Me too.
Fun.
I love it, but it's hard. It's the oh, God is because it's hard, not because it's a bad. It's called Tornado Ellie. It only gets 5.3 on Board Game Geek. Those nerds over at Board Game Geek don't like this kind of game.
They really love like those really dense strategy
games.
Because
this is pretty much open to everybody. What it is you get you stack cards on a movable platform that represents
rotating platform.
It's a rotating platform, and it represents a tornado. So you stack whatever the cards tell you. It could be a chicken, or not a chicken. It could be a cow. Could be a house. Could be a tree. You all start with 9 of these little pieces, 3 of each, and then as the cards dictate, it's a lot like Uno in that you got to play a card. You have to play a matching. If you put down a pig, I have to put more of the same species.
No,
or
it can be You can either play any number of the same species, or if you play a different species, it has to be a higher number.
Thank you. You explained that way better than I did. Thank you, Jake.
You're welcome.
But and then if you don't get that, it's time to take storm damage, which means whatever the top deck, if the top deck shows a tree and a house, you stack a tree and a house. So you're putting a card down, stacking one of your little wooden pieces, and then stacking another card on that until you reach. So you get this really, really unstable little stack of cards, and now you have to turn it to your neighbor. And there are other cards you can play, like a lightning bolt. The lightning bolt says, I don't have to turn it. Now you have to turn it for me to yourself. Or a cloud makes the table turn the other way. There's all kinds of little great things. It's a really fun dexterity game, but boy, is it difficult.
Yeah. And, you know, whenever I took storm damage, I had all three symbols on the card every single time. And it sucked because you have to try and stack these pieces that do not want to be stacked.
I'm looking at some of the pictures, and they have like 7-8 cards stacked. We did not get that high.
We got pretty high.
I think we got to about six or seven.
Yeah.
Did we?
It fell immediately afterwards, but we got there.
We made it.
Yeah.
It's a fun, quick little, it's a nice party game. I wish it played more people, but I guess because you only have four sides of the little platform, it makes sense. There is a much more difficult track on the outside that you play where the pattern you follow is a lot more complex, and there's a lot more chances for you to dump the whole tower over. But I love this. I like it. And the pieces are really, really cool. The art's fun. So I give this one a 7 for me.
Yeah.
I give it a 7.
I agree.
6.5.
6.5?
Yeah. It's
Did solid. You get to play this with us, Justine?
No.
No.
Justine has missed the last couple of board games.
She hates us.
But she doesn't miss our podcast. So God bless her for that, Justine.
That's always something.
Thank you for being here.
Mm-hmm.
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 Patrick and I were able to play a little game called Santorini.
You mean 3D Greek chess?
We love this one.
It's a lot of fun.
This has been out for a while. Santorini, of course, is the name of a island in the Aegean Sea. And so you, inspired by the architecture there, you basically build three little towers. Or no, how would you explain it, Patrick?
You're trying to build a temple, and basically you can build one level above where you're standing. So you're trying to be the first person to hit that third point stand on top of it, and you do that, you win. But the whole point is you can block your other player by blocking their buildings and building a dome and sealing off the area. And you can actually trap people in a corner pretty easily. I beat Mario twice that way just by sticking him in a corner, and it was wonderful.
So you have two pieces. So let me read what the description is.
So you're basically trying to climb up to the top.
Yeah.
Also preventing your opponent
from
climbing.
To be the first person to reach the third story while preventing your opponent from doing the same thing.
So you play on a small grid and you move. You have two players. Each person gets two workers. And every turn you move, and then you put a building where you just next to where you've moved.
Mm.
But you always have to move. And you can move up a level. So if I move, you know, on top, if I put a building down, I can move on top. The second you get to the third level of your building, you win. But the thing is, someone else standing next to it can put a dome on that building, whether it's one level, two level, three levels. And once there's a dome there, you can't move there anymore. But you can trap each other in. So you just move and build. That's it. And it's a very, very quick game, but it's a very, very base, essentially 3D. I don't know about chess, but 3D checkers definitely kind of element to it. Yeah. But it is a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun and very, very easy. It's a really great intro to like abstract strategy games. And this one surprised me because it's such a simple box. It looks really cool when you get everything built. Has a nice little platform you put everything on. And, you know, the pieces are nice. So your little guys look like Greek statues.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, I would give it, I'd give this one a 9 maybe.
I think an 8, yeah. I think it's fair.
They have it now at Target. When I found it at Target, it was in the kids section.
It's a really good two-player game. I can't see playing it with more than two people.
It does play up to three.
Which I think would get overcomplicated and make it extremely difficult, because basically...
Or you play a four-player team variant.
Yeah, I think it's a lot more interesting to play against one opponent, because you're trying to fit in their headspace more than trying to match up with three, because you could be... just hose so easily that it would just end pretty quickly. And I think it's a lot easier to get like a stalemate with three people than it would be with two. Two, you have a better chance of actually winning.
I love that one. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Hmm. Yeah.
All right, here's another one. Here's one that we don't know how to pronounce.
Also, there's a game I want to mention. Haven't played yet. Very interested in getting. Hopefully they have it tonight that I want to play.
What is it?
It's Treasure Island.
That has gotten really good reviews, by the way.
I was watching a video on it. Shut Up and Play.
Sit down and shut up. Yep. Sit Down and Shut Up, I believe.
Yeah. And it plays a lot like a lot of these games that we like Fury of Dracula, Last Friday, where there's one player who is essentially Long John Silver, who is hiding treasure on this island.
I love it already.
And each turn, every player or each, like, you reveal one thing about the treasure, mm-hmm. about the treasure's location, whether it's not in here or it's within this radius, and you have different cards to have you do that. And the other players are just trying to figure out where it is. And you have these, it's like you have a bunch of markers and you're actually drawing on this laminated board and you're trying to like mark stuff off and you're marking where it isn't. You have your own secret little player screen where you have like your own mini map where you can try to mark down on where you think it is and isn't. And it just looks like a lot of fun.
It looks awesome. It is, we haven't played it yet, but I want to check it out.
Looks like something right up our alley.
Yes. I hope you get it so I don't have to buy it.
I don't think it's too expensive either.
It's like $50.
It's not bad. I feel like that's like an average price for like a solid
40
game.
Bucks.
40, 50 40, bucks.
40, 50 bucks.
Yeah, it's not like the Gallerist where you're putting $110 in your hand
and only
game
playing it once
because it's the densest game I've ever seen in my life.
Here's a game that's...
I'm not mad about it.
You know whose game? You're still not bitter.
No. I'm not bitter.
I'm not bitter that I just lost $110 on this nice paperweight.
You know who does a lot of good games for a reasonable price is Blue Orange Games. They do a lot of educational games. Photosynthesis is one that we love mm-hmm. here. We got one of their new games called Scarabia. It's by Blue Orange, designed by our old friend Bruno Cathala, along with Ludovic Maublanc. And in Scarabia, we are archaeologists digging for treasure. We're trying to find these little scarabs. Scarabs are on the map. The way the game is played is everybody plays on an individual board, plays up to four players. Player one sets up his board in a particular way. Everybody else has to set up their board to match exactly. After that, they are free to put the pieces down. There are 10 or 12 pieces that everybody plays in there. Everybody has the same shapes. One is like a cross. One looks like a lightning bolt. It's basically Tetris shapes. Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
As you draw the card, everybody plays that shape. They can play it anywhere on their board. Once you have your scarabs surrounded by tiles, the scarabs are painted on the board, so you're building up one level. Once you have your scarabs surrounded in spaces of four or less, every scarab in that little area scores 1 point per square in up to four squares in the tile area. It's a very, very simple game, but you really, really have to pay attention to where you're putting the pieces down, and a lot of your strategy will depend on what pieces are coming up when. And you will have to eat points by covering up various scarabs. It's a very quick playing game. Takes 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's super quick.
Would you say? But a lot of strategy, a lot of fun.
And it's just trying to remember what space you have left to kind of, you have to mentally map out in your head with both what pieces you know are coming up and then what pieces you've already played to kind of figure out, okay, where can I place this so that I can still use every opportunity to place every piece I have.
Mm-hmm. Have you played that with us, Justine?
Mm-mm. Nope.
I don't think so.
Justine!
It's so sad, I know.
You've been missing out on board games.
It's so sad.
Jake, did you like this one?
Yeah, I loved it. It's simple. It's simple to get a grasp of, but it's really difficult in that you're having to plan several moves ahead because when you place down the tiles, it has to connect with the last tile that you played, right? Or previously
That's
placed
right.
tile.
That's
like
right.
Tetris.
It is. It has to touch at least one corner. The only two rules for placement are it has to touch at least one edge. It can't touch diagonal. It has to touch one edge of a previously laid tile. And the first tile you lay down has to cover one of the middle four squares of the grid mm-hmm. where all the boards meet.
So it's a lot of planning ahead. You're looking at all the pieces and you're just hoping that you get the one that you think you need for it, and it ends up throwing you off and have to replace. And...
Yeah, you're playing together, but you're really paying attention to your own board.
You really don't care about what everyone else is doing.
No, you're really trying to just maximize. But it is, it does bring a, I mean, there's a sense of community, because when that card flips, everybody at the same time is like, oh, why do I have this piece, or where did I put this piece? Yeah. So it's a lot of fun.
And I think it's cool to see, you know, the different paths that people are taking, because the first couple moves are all kind of the same. Mm-hmm. But then you really start to see people diverge about halfway through, where you're seeing.
It reminds me of the, I can't remember the name of it now, but it's the one where you're trying to hack a path through the jungle.
Yes.
To get to the temple.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. Do you remember that one?
Yeah. Everyone looks the same, and then we all start.
It starts, yeah, the first two or three moves, everyone looks about the same.
Karuba.
And then everyone's looks vastly different from the beginning.
Karuba's a good one. We need to bust that one back out.
We need to bring some of those good games. Mm-hmm. Some of those games you don't play that much. Not the small games.
We like those
small good games.
We like those small games.
Small games are good. But
my wife and I just played Biblios again last night. I had not played that in a while. I need to bring that tonight. Plays up to four. Great little auction game. Super fast. And the wrinkle is you can manipulate the value of. So basically, the person who has the most of one color is going to get the points at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. So there's brown, blue, red, orange, whatever. They're represented by dice. The only time you only use the dice as a marker. But the wrinkle is there are cards in the deck that allow you to manipulate the value. So if you know you have more brown cards, you can make it worth more. Or if I know you have blue cards and I have one that drops the value, I can drop the value of the blue by one or whatever. So it's very, very quick auction game, but you're manipulating the...
And you can screw someone over by dropping value of something.
Yes,
yeah, okay.
Exactly. Yeah, you want to play it. It's very, very fun. Hmm. We played it last night. I was like, why don't we play this more? It's super simple. And we love the screw your neighbor element.
Those are the best.
I don't want you guys to win.
That's our favorite thing ever. Okay.
Like, I don't care if I win as long as everyone else loses.
That's it.
That's how
it.
We play.
That's it.
That's flip, how we play
flip
games.
That table. We don't legitimately flip the table, but we do in spirit.
Yeah.
I give...
Verbally, we flip the table.
I'm going to give Scarabia... I'm going to give it a 7. It's a solid game for me. Really, really solid. Very easy to teach.
Mm-hmm.
You can get any... But it's a great gateway game. Somebody that wants to get on Monopoly or something.
If you say Tetris,
mm-hmm.
people will kind of get it.
Yeah.
Because I think all the pieces are... Well, not all of them. I think there are a couple that are bigger, but most of them are...
There's
like
one zigzag and one cross, but other than that, they're all
most
basically...
Most of them are five squared pieces.
Yeah, Tetris-shaped.
Yeah.
What do you got?
I give it a 7 as well. I think that's a pretty solid number for it. It's fun. I think eventually it doesn't have the most replayability. You can probably play it like 5-6 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'd be
It's a good let's get started with game night.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to play it more than 2 or 3 times in a row.
Just to wet your whistle.
But just to get a game night started, mm-hmm. it's perfect.
Yeah, tickle your fancy.
Yeah, tickle your pickle.
So here's one I got I got it on a Christmas. I think I had Black Friday sale. I think I got this game for $10. We busted it out. It ended up being a bluffing game with a little bit of a twist. It's called O Captain. Plays 3-6 player. It's designed by Florian Cyrilex. Wow. Cyrilex? Is that the name? And so O Captain is it's a symmetric game. It's an asymmetric game of changing roles. An adventurer must offer the loot cards they draw to the captain, telling the captain something about what the cards contain, but not necessarily speaking truthfully. Indeed, some cursed objects can't be spoken of at all by the adventurers. The captain, who is safe from being attacked by objects, decides whether the crew member can keep the loot or not, and if the captain turns down the offer, the crew member can decide to use an object against another adventurer. The latter player can overcome this by calling out a lie, winning or losing a coin based on who is right. The role of the captain can be claimed by any adventurer who is richer than the captain, and in the end, the richest adventurer wins the game. I really like this game. The pieces were nice. There's a great bluffing element to it. You guys were nice and let me stay on as captain.
Yeah, I think the best thing I learned about this one is to make sure that, you know, lie a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's different cards that allow you to do different things. It's a little bit like coup in that way, or love letter. If you have a certain card, you can play a certain power. And somebody can call you on that. But if they call you on it and they're wrong, they have to give up treasure. And since treasure is the name of the game, nobody really wants to give that treasure up.
Mm-hmm.
And the captain element brings a new wrinkle to it, because the captain can decide whether or not he wants to take your stuff mm-hmm. or make you use it. So I really like this game. The art was great. The box is fantastic.
The cards are beautiful. They have like this really nice like gold leaf effect on mm-hmm. it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's a really, really great looking game. And very simple. It's a very simple just bluffing game. But I do like the idea that someone else can take over as captain, because the captain has to really depend on everybody else to get his treasure, because mm-hmm. he doesn't do any treasure hunting. He has to wait for people to bring him stuff. So you also don't want one of your players to get too rich either. So there's a little bit of a trick to being the captain. But I really liked it. It's a really fun little bluffing game. So it was kind of not on my radar, but I bought it because it was $10. I would give this one like a 6.5, right in there. Only because we play a lot of these games.
Yeah.
We play a lot of bluffing games. But it was different enough that I enjoyed it. So what do you guys think? What do you say?
I give it like a 6.5, 7, I think. You know, we have to play it again, but I think it was fun.
What do you say, Jake?
Yeah, 6.5. It's a fun, simple, you know, deduction or not deduction, social deduction.
Social
game.
Deduction.
But it, you know, it's not anything crazy.
I like, yeah, it's very simple. Very, mm-hmm. very simple. Another game we played recently, I don't know if you guys
not
played.
Not as polished as some of the other ones we play.
That is true. But it is different enough that it kind of makes up for it. Another game we played, this is available at Target. I haven't seen it anywhere else. It's called Megaland. It's our friend Ryan Lockett, who designed such games as Above and Below and Islebound and all those great City of Iron. Really beautiful artwork on the Red Raven games. And this one is actually a variation. It's a little bit like Ink and Gold meets Machi Koro. Did you play this, Patrick? You didn't play this with us.
I don't think so.
Jake played it with us.
Played what now?
Megaland.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
which,
yeah.
Which is the... So you have a little... Based, kind of
sounds
based,
like rip-off Legos.
It's kind of a base... It's based on, like I said, it's kind of a little bit of...
It's like Machi Koro mixed with...
Ink and Gold. Ink That's and what gold, I said. Yeah. So you're video game characters, and you decide whether or not to... It's instead of going into a temple, you decide whether or not you want to run the levels on this video game. And the longer you stay in, the more money you make, the more treasure you bring back. And when you bring back treasure, you can buy buildings that help you get more coins. Mm-hmm. And the first one to get 20 coins wins the game.
If you have several of the same type of treasure, you can use it to upgrade your health, which means you can stay in longer. Mm-hmm. Or if you have different ones, for each different one you can use, it counts as a currency towards any of the buildings.
Yes.
Which give you better abilities or give you gold every turn. And
yeah, they're just like the buildings in Machi Koro. Some of them let you bring home more treasure. Like if you bust out, you can still bring home treasure. Someone will let you swap treasure. And it's very important that you get three of a kind, because the more matching treasures you bring, the more hearts you can buy, which lets you stay in the game longer instead of busting out and then having to come back broke. But the people who can't leave the temple in Machi Koro without busting out will have a hard time with this game, because you need to come back with something to buy. In Ink of Gold, you need something to come back with to buy those buildings so that you can kind of bankroll your success. I like this game a lot. I didn't know what to expect. It looked like a little kid's game, but it's really more of a push your luck game.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, it is kind of like that perfect blend between Ink of Gold, which is like a huge push your luck game, is, you know, you can go from getting, you know, if you're the last person in and you're getting all the big treasure cards, you're getting like 10, 15 gold. But if you stay in too long, you get nothing. And same thing here. You know, you can easily go from first place to last if you mess up and push your luck a little too much.
I liked it. It's very, very, very simple. This is another great gateway game. If you see it at Target, I think it's $25 maybe. Pick it up. It's the artwork is beautiful, like all the Ryan Lockett games. Mm-hmm. It's a really beautiful original artwork. And what I like about it is, the levels, there's so many danger cards. It's like there are only a few cards that let you pass through unscathed. And if you,
like as you, two or three,
as you pass each level, you get one more treasure to bring back with you. But some of the dangers have two skulls, three skulls. Each skull on those cards, or on those level cards, not treasures, each skull on those level cards costs you one health.
And you only start with four?
You start with four. So one of them has three on it. So that if you flip that one first, a lot of people will just go, well, I'm out. I'm going to take my one treasure and go. But sometimes it's fun to stay in there and try to press your luck and see how long you can make it. So there were some people that stayed in. I think Roxy, our friend Roxy stayed in and got, what, 7 or 8
Got,
ones?
Like, an extra 3 treasures just because she stayed in a couple more times, yeah.
It's smart, though.
She came home, and she bought a bunch of treasure. And
oh, it wasn't smart, but
no risk,
out.
No reward, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, it's one of those games. It's fun. But I do like the element of, like, you're bringing the treasure back like in Ink and Gold, but you're doing something with it to help you win. It helps speed the game along. So the game only takes maybe 15, 20 minutes, but I really enjoyed it. It really surprised me. It came out of nowhere. I hadn't seen it advertised anywhere, or I didn't see a Kickstarter for it. But it's designed by Ryan Lockett and Mallory Lockett, who I believe is maybe, I don't know if it's his wife, daughter. But he does the artwork along with someone called another gentleman by the name of Nolan Edelman. It's published by Red Raven Games. So this is a solid 7 for me. I really like it. It's fun. And again, very easy and simple. If you just want to break a game out and play something in 10 minutes, it's easy. Jake, what do you think?
Yeah, I give it a 7.5. I love Machikoro, and it kind of is along that same lines, but adds a couple different things. No dice rolling and more push your luck.
Yeah.
Which I like that too. I love Ink and Gold. You really see the people who love to gamble
mm-hmm.
when you play those kind of games are the people who probably shouldn't never go to Vegas.
That's true.
Mainly me.
I should never go to Vegas ever. One game we all got to try last week that we had been looking, it's got a lot of buzz, mostly because it's a theme that is outside of the usual board game fair, is Villainous. It's actually a game from Disney, a board game. So it's you are taking on the role of a Disney villain. Patrick got to play this with us last week.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It's designed by Prospero Hall, which I don't believe is a real name. And it's published, it's by Ravensburger here with a license from Disney. So if you're crazy about Disney stuff, I would pick this up because knowing Disney, the license is going to run out in like 5 minutes and it'll never be reprinted again. So
I'm sure.
Maybe buy one and stick it in your kid's safe. And he can, you know, the pieces on this are nice.
Oh, yeah. The markers for each of the villains is as like its own unique.
Yeah. They're kind of abstract versions of, yeah. They're abstract versions of famous Disney villains. So you play as Captain Hook, Ursula, Maleficent, King John, the Queen of Hearts, or Jafar. And this is a game where, again, kind of like Scarabia, where you're paying attention to what's in front of you, and you really need to pay attention to what's in front of your friends, because you all have a different different requirements for your win condition. You're mm-hmm. not all you're playing against one another.
Yeah, like what Jafar has to try to get the genie and the lamp back to the palace.
You have to unlock the Cave of Wonders in your Jafar if you're Jafar, and then get the genie and the. You have to be in control of the genie and
bring him and the lamp
back. And the lamp at the start of your turn,
yeah.
Which I had everything all lined up and I didn't make it. I ended up losing to who did we lose to? Ursula?
No, that was me.
You were Ursula. Crystal was
Maleficent.
She was Maleficent,
and she had to basically have 4 curses. Maleficent's whole thing was where she has to have curses all over the board, mm-hmm. and once she has enough curses, if she starts her turn with them, she wins. And Ursula, I think, needs to get the trident and the crown back to her, back to, like, the first space, while she can switch once, like, the first and last one's being locked. And
mm-hmm.
each one has their own unique mechanics to them, while still trying to maintain. It's basically bring this back to this space kind
but,
of thing.
You know, the funny thing about this game is it's frustrating because you can't do all the things you want to do.
No.
You're limited to the moves that are available at the space you're about to lay that card down for your turn. So you can't go to the same, you can't play the same space consecutively. You always have to be moving
mm-hmm.
around. And some spaces allow you to play cards, some allow you to draw, some allow you
people
to.
People can block it.
With
fate.
You can block, with fate cards, you can block half of the moves. There are 4 available. I'm really surprised because there's a lot of strategy in this game, and with the Disney label on it, I was looking at this being really more of a beginner game, kind of
no,
like the,
this is more complex.
Yeah, this is a little bit more complicated. It's not quite a deck builder.
No,
it's not quite a worker.
Every deck's vastly different. You're mm-hmm. not necessarily building it, but
no, but you do want to get the good cards in your hand. The one thing I liked about Jafar is that he allowed you to manipulate the deck in a way that could help you. You could go back and insert the deck so you weren't waiting for cards to come back up.
And I think all of them have some sort of deck manipulation for it, where Jafar's, you search for certain cards, and Ursula's was the main way she gets rid of the heroes, which is when you use the fate action, you draw two. That player draws two of those cards on the top of their fate deck, and the person picks one, and if it's a hero, they can place it on a location. And her main way to get rid of those was with the binding contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a card where it says you search your deck till you find a binding contract, and you discard the rest. So that was how I was able to get through.
You draw
like five or six cards, you get rid of them, and then she has cards that can bring back stuff when she from her discard.
I think I'm going to need more time with it because I only played Jafar. I really liked the way he played. But I would like to get a chance to play, you know, all of them eventually. But it's a really fun game. And again, don't let the Disney name fool you. It's a little more complex than I was expecting originally.
Yeah, so was I. I mean, they had played it a couple times before, and I was just like, it doesn't look that interesting to me. But I actually sat down and played it, and I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Like, the complexness of the strategy and just the fact that each character, each villain plays so differently is really interesting, because you're really challenged to think outside the box and try and figure out what you're going to do. Like, for instance, mine, you know, Hook, the whole purpose of him is to find Peter Pan and then get him on the ship and, you know, defeat him.
Kill him.
But you can't do that without certain items and, like, Hook's cards, too. Like, I was able to burn through my fate deck pretty quick just to find him, which was really useful, because then it limits what you guys can do to me, because I'm more in control of getting rid of my stuff. And then Hook also had a nice feature where I can actually add different locations to individual locations to be able to do more stuff in that places. That allowed me to gain more money and kind of burn through my deck a little bit faster. But even then, I was like, at the end of the whole thing, I would look through my deck to find where the last card I needed was. And it was the second to last card. And I was like, I would have never won.
Oh.
It was just on the bottom.
I love it. It was a really interesting game. Definitely, if you have any interest in Disney at all, check it out. And don't let the Disney label fool you either. It's not really a kids' game. It's
definitely not.
There's a little bit of strategy to it. It's a lot of fun. The pieces are really great. It's one of the more interesting looking games to come out in a little while. So I recommend it. I give it a 7. Solid 7. For Villainous, what do you boys think?
Actually, I'd probably give it a little bit higher. Give it an 8. I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to. Mm-hmm.
I agree.
8.
You get enough. Yeah, there's enough variety with each of the villains, or you can. You know,
yeah,
a lot
I'm gonna
of
have to play. I think
it.
This is based on one playthrough with Jafar, and it was we just learned it. So I'm sure the more I play, I'm sure I'll be able to. As I get to play other players, you know, we'll see how they are.
Yeah, it is. They essentially all play the same. Is your digging through your deck to find the one card that you or the couple cards you need, and then you're bringing it back to a certain spot. But yeah, they all feel different, which is nice.
Sorry for that yawn, Jake. That wasn't you.
I know. I'm very boring.
No, you're not. Are there any games that we've missed? Is there anything
else?
I want
to rate it.
Have you played it?
Yeah, I played it.
Why haven't you talked about this?
I played it with.
Did you love it?
What's his name?
Matthew.
Matt. He taught it to me, and then that's when we first played it.
Uh-huh.
How was it?
It's good. I give it a 9.
What did you play?
Because of the pieces and the...
Who did you
play? Yeah, I'm telling you.
I played Ursula,
of course.
Of course
you were Ursula.
Of course, if someone's going to torture Ariel, it's me.
Did you win?
No. No, all of my cards were on the bottom.
When I play a game with Matt, I just assume I'm going to lose.
No, I just... I bring him down with me.
I couldn't win.
I'm like, no, he wins. He wins most games. He's not going to win one of them.
He does win a lot of games.
Everything I needed was on the bottom of my deck, and I couldn't get
it. And
I think
he knows that.
If you saw Matthew just walking down the street, you would say, there's a guy who looks like he wins a lot of board games.
Yeah.
Like, he just looks like a guy who wins a lot of board games. And he does. So shout out to Matthew. And thank you to Crystal for teaching me how to play.
Yeah, it was super helpful.
Because we're not the easiest students.
No,
me.
We are not.
What's the card?
What do you mean? Can you explain that all over again? I was not paying attention. Like, what part? All of it.
So my wife and I have played a few board games this week, and I just wanted to give a quick rundown on some of those. We played one called Victorian Masterminds. This is a brand new game out. Average rating is a 6.9 on Board Game Geek. I'd give it a little bit higher. I'd say it's an 8. It's designed by Anton Bauza and Eric Lang. Anton Bauza, of course, the designer of Seven Wonders. And then our friend Eric Lang, Blood Rage, and Godfather, which we love. It's published by Cool Mini or Not. And it is a really fun little worker placement game. It takes place in the like Victorian steampunk era. And instead of workers, you have little gears, and those gears have workers on them. It plays a little bit like our friend, whatchamacallit, the Mission Red Planet, mm-hmm. where each role is something different. One doubles your score. One sabotages other players. One lets you steal buildings. One lets you do all these things. And at the same time, you're trying to work on your steampunk machine. One's like a submarine. One's a flying machine.
Your giant death machine.
Giant death machine. And once you get it completed, you win the game. It's a lot of fun. It plays very, very quickly. Very, very easy. The pieces are really cool. The art's really cool if you like the steampunk aesthetic. And I love the workers are little gears. They're little chips that are shaped like gears. And the way you place them is everybody places them down on different locations on the board. And once a stack has three, you flip them and play them from the top starting down. And you activate everyone's power. They take pieces, what have you, and try to... It's really, really fun. Very, very easy. A lot of strategy, a lot of thinking ahead, a lot of trying to outthink someone else, try to get in someone else's head and figure out what they're trying to do. But that's a brand new game, and it's great for two players. My wife and I had a really good time playing it. I'm curious to see how it plays with more, so maybe we'll bring it by game night tonight.
Tonight.
Also got a chance to play Survive Escape from Atlantis. That is definitely a game we need to play at game night. Lots of screwing your neighbor.
Hopefully she's attractive.
Yeah, it's from it's an older game apparently. There's a 30th anniversary edition that we played. I had never played it before. Had never heard of it. But you basically build an island that represents Atlantis, and piece by piece the island starts to fall into the ocean and crumble. And if your little meeple is on any of those pieces, he's now swimming in shark infested waters. And you're trying to get your guys to the four corners of the board so they can escape to safety. There are random numbers on the bottom of each meeple, so it's important to remember which guy you have where. And you try to get them to the corners of the board. There's sea monsters that can eat them. They'll destroy the boats. There's whales that capsize the boat, dump everybody into the water for the sharks to get. It's a lot of fun and a lot of screwing your neighbor. The board is really cool. It's little hex pieces. You build the island in the middle. The beach parts go first.
And it's a shared board?
It's a shared board. Okay. And the beach parts, every time you move a guy, you take a piece off the board. So it moves very, very quickly.
Do you get to choose the pieces that move, that you get to take off, or is it random?
Yeah, no. You can, as long, the only rule is you take one piece off and the beach pieces have to go first. Okay. So there's beach, forest, and mountain. One of the mountains is a volcano. If you flip the volcano, you trigger the end of the game. But the nice thing is on each piece is the tiles are either green or red. Mm-hmm. A green tile you play immediately. Red you save for the next turn. Sometimes you put sharks in. You can move. You get an extra boat. You could park a boat somewhere. You can move the sea serpents around because there's a sea serpent guarding every island. So, and there's one in the middle.
Okay.
So it's really, really fun. Super easy. Very, very quick game. But that's another one that has a really, really strong screw your neighbor element. So we'll play these and we'll have a group discussion, but it'll be a lot of fun. And I'm looking now. There's expansions.
Really?
There's expansions now.
Well, we got to get those.
Expansion.
Great. There's dolphins and squids and 5 to 6 players. So you can expand.
There's squibs.
Squibs, little squibs. I'm going to order that right now. All right, guys, that's going to do it. We did play another game called Samurai, which we'll get into because that's another game I want to play. That's a very, very quick strategy game with really cool pieces, but we'll talk about that next time. We've already gone 45 minutes. Can you believe it?
We played a lot of games.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. We're going to, and we apologize, guys. It's just, we had a really, really bad couple of months where everybody was sick or working or had jury duty or something was going on, and so we have not had it. We weren't even playing games.
Nope.
So we've been back at it for the last couple of weeks, and we'll be playing more new games. As today, we're probably going to play Treasure Island because Jake's so generous. But
it's nice that he's going to buy it for us.
It's nice that he's going to buy it for us. But Until next time, guys.
Wonderful.
If you have any questions, of course, you can always hit us up on the Twitter at Soup Complex and just, you know, use the hashtag boarding party or, you know, just say, hey, boarding party.
Boarding party.
I know we're doing it. It's we weren't in trouble. They just asked us not to do it. We didn't do it. And I haven't heard back from them in months, so it's fine. Should we not do it? I like the board. I like the name boarding party. How about Superiority Complex presents boarding party? You know what I'm saying? How's that? You want to do that?
So then it's SC boarding party.
No, I don't want to say SC.
S. Because,
you know.
The boarding complex.
Maybe. No.
Boarding complex.
Everybody's dancing. All right, guys. So for Patrick, for Jason, for Justine, for myself, until next time, keep your filthy hands off my meatballs.